Welcome to the Healing HQ podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea. I'm a Hashimoto's warrior, registered dietitian, and lover of all things healing. Each week, we will dive deep and provide you tips, tricks, and everything you will need on your healing journey from myself and my guests in the community. If you're ready to jump headfirst into your healing journey, then this podcast is for you. Get ready to talk all things woo-woo, mindset, nutrition, and so much more. Let's get started. Hello. So before we hop into this week's episode, I wanted to pop on here while I'm editing and give a trigger and sensitivity warning. We do talk all about different topics related to pregnancy, breastfeeding, prenatal, postnatal, miscarriage, and so on. So if you are triggered or uncomfortable, please do not listen to this episode and just know that we are here to support you. We love you so much. And whatever you need, please let us know. Let's dive in. Hello, welcome back to the Healing HQ podcast. I am so excited this week because I have two of my favorite people in the whole entire world here who like found me on Instagram and I've been stalking them ever since. And they are just so amazing. I have Cassie and Michaela from Mama's Maternal Health here to talk to us all about pregnancy and breastfeeding and all that good stuff with autoimmunity. And girls, I'm so happy you're here that we made this work. I would love to start off by you guys kind of introducing yourselves, telling your story, what got you into this. So Michaela, if you want to go first.
Yeah. Sure. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for having us here on the podcast. We are so grateful and so excited, especially you. If you have an amazingly ginormous account. So being on friends with you, we're like, oh, this famous girl over here. Like, wow.
Not at all. I'm not famous. Don't make me cry.
You're famous in the nutrition, autoimmune world.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes. That being said, let's see, what is my story? So, I met Cassie at Marywood University in their nutrition and dietetics, department. We met on the first day of school. Like, it was kind of a friendship love story a little bit because we met on the first day and I was like, Cassie, like, want to be my BFF forever? And then she was like, yes. And then it was kind of history for me.
I love it.
Which is so silly, but it kind of is exactly what was happening. And, then we were both in our coordinated program at Marywood University, which if anybody doesn't know what that is, it's basically you're doing your internship at the same time as your schooling. So it's really a lot, it's overwhelming and it's stressful. And wow. Cassie and I did it together. So we did a lot of team building throughout that. We lived together for like 4 years, right, Cass? Was right?
Something like that. I don't know. We were together 5 years. We lived together most of it.
Like shared a room, basically, because there wasn't enough rooms in the house or whatever. And like we had our internship at the same time and classes at the same time. Like we were together all the time. So Cassie and I were like, you know what? If we can get through college together, we could do a business together is basically what we thought. Mm-hmm. And so I know Cassie will give some more details of that, but we ended up doing a business that surrounds pregnancy in general at first. And it was supporting women through pregnancy, birth and postpartum, and specifically breastfeeding in the postpartum area. But we realized that there's such a need for pregnancy assistance with autoimmune conditions. And I have Hashimoto's. My mom has type 1 diabetes. Two of my closest friends have lupus. Autoimmune conditions have been kind of surrounding me and I didn't even really pick up on it much. And it was kind of a decision that Cassie and I are like, you know what, maybe we should explore this niche further. And it has just been so amazing because, you know, these women need the help and they deserve the help and they have so many more things to worry about than somebody. I mean, pregnancy is overwhelming in general, but pregnancy with an underlying autoimmune condition is that much more overwhelming and overstimulating.
Totally.
So the fact that we can support women on this journey is just such a pleasure and like such an honor. So that's my side of the story.
So Michaela, are you a dietitian? Are you?
Oh yes. So I'm a registered dietitian. Thank you. Registered dietitian nutritionist. And I have my master's in nutrition as well. And I'm also a lactation counselor. So
cool. oh, I love your story. It literally, like, it should be a TV show. and like, only dietitians would totally geek out to it, but still, yeah, it'd be super fun. But Cass, tell us your story. I would love to hear that.
Okay, so I mean, Michaela gave us a lot of background. So we did all of our schooling together. We both had very similar interests in school. We were pretty much inseparable. Our professors like tried to just like tear us apart. They wanted us to be our own individuals, but they didn't. What they didn't realize is that we were our own individuals that thrived together.
Right.
So, and one of the things that when during our kind of life cycle nutrition course, we both were super duper interested in the pregnancy and lactation aspect of it. And we were like, you know how, like, if anyone has a sister, you know, I mean, if you don't, like, that's great. But I feel like this my experiences with sisters is that we have a little bit of that competitiveness, being like, this is my thing, you can't do it.
Yep.
So we were trying to find our own things as friend sisters, because we were just that close, that we basically treated each other like we were sisters in a good way, not in the bad ways. But so after probably we were about to start our master's degree, we were both just like, I really don't know if I want to go into like clinical or community or food service. We really wanted to go into private practice. And we were both trying to figure out what we wanted to do. We both had those interests and we were like, why don't we just go into business together? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where Mama's Maternal Health was born. We've been working on it for quite a few years now, but really only have been in this specific niche for a shorter period of time. But it's been so, so, so rewarding in that period of time. Again, how Michaela said, we've been doing the, you know, general pregnancy and lactation aspect. So one of the things that I focus on in our business is the lactation aspect. So I do the prep for breastfeeding and breastfeeding support that we give our moms. And so in school, backtracking, I'm all over the place. I did my honors thesis and in my undergrad and my master's thesis on breastfeeding. And I'm also a registered dietitian and lactation counselor as well for that background. But so I was really, really interested in lactation piece and just seeing how minimal support there is out there for women in general with breastfeeding. And then as we kind of dabbled into this autoimmune realm, we realized how much more drastic it was. Like, it was like, you know, night and day. I mean, healthcare professionals that have lactation experience and you have lactation professionals, but from those, all of that funneled together, there's only a small percentage that actually, you know, knows what they're doing with an autoimmune pregnancy and postpartum, because it does affect things differently. But not all these women get that support. So it's just been so rewarding to be able to kind of switch into this niche and, you know, give women the support that they deserve, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's so needed. There's so many women out there I work with specifically Hashimoto's, but even in the Hashimoto's world, I mean, getting pregnant is one feat, but staying pregnant is another. But also, like, feeling healthy throughout your pregnancy and postpartum is not something, like, people don't talk about it. They talk about you have this pregnancy glow and everything's great. And I've after working with many women in the autoimmune world who have become pregnant, they're like, this sucks. Like, what do I do? I feel like crap, you know, and I just love the work you guys are doing. I think this is so, so important and so needed. You go, girls. I love it. And I love your story. It's just so, like, heartwarming, you know?
To add one thing about like a whole like glow thing. I almost feel like we talk as dietitians, there's a lot of attention on diet culture, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually we feel like there's like a pregnancy culture of like, what is like the glow? Like, you're looking at just, you're literally glowing. You're just smiling all the time. You're giggling. You have the cutest clothing that fits your cutie bump and you're just like loving life and everything is perfect. And it's just like so unrealistic and it can make us feel so bad about our journeys. And, can kind of set it, like, if that's our image of like success, it can set us up for this negative self-talk or along this like amazing journey. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that more, because I feel like that's just in the autoimmune world. Like, no one talks about being pregnant with an autoimmune disease. It's nowhere. Like, you guys are pretty much the only people who I've ever seen. So I know, like, if I were to become pregnant, right, I would expect it to be like a normal, healthy, full term pregnancy, but there are risks. But also, like, if I assume that and then it doesn't go that way and I'm nauseous, like, through the second trimester and, well, you know, whatever it is, I mean, talk more about that. Cause I would love to know, like, how you guys help women through that. And like, what is so different about having an autoimmune disease in pregnancy?
Yeah. So Cassie, can I do the nutrition part and then we'll go, you'll do into the, okay, perfect.
I was just awesome. Gonna say that.
Perfect. So, okay, women in general need, there's no way to be like, I promise this is a healthy pregnancy. And that is the reality about pregnancy. That is everyone. It's not if you have an underlying condition or not, that is everyone. Right. But oftentimes within pregnancy itself, our top pregnancy complications are like preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, you know, problems with eating enough in general and having the healthy birth weight, or being gaining too much weight or gaining not enough weight, or having gestational hypertension, or all these different things are always a risk. Mm-hmm. But with autoimmune women, we are also dealing with the underlying, like, for instance, if we're talking about thyroid conditions, these hormone levels are going to be changing throughout your pregnancy. So you need to be making sure that your hormones are being checked on a, you know, usual basis. And that's something that another mama might not need to be so concerned about, because those hormone levels are so important in helping you have a healthy pregnancy and a healthy mom and baby. Also, women with autoimmune conditions often have nutrient deficiencies, as I'm sure you know. And a lot of women have to deal with these nutrient deficiencies in general. And when they start to go to those nutrient deficiencies is when they start to feel better, right? It's when you start to feel better, is when you're listening to what your body needs. Now, when you're going through pregnancy, your baby is asking for these nutrients, right? So now this is a whole new level of nutrient need, and like your level of awareness of what you need for not only yourself but also your pregnancy is that much more heightened. Mm-hmm. And that, if I could just go into the postpartum period real quick, Cassie will talk more about it, but what's so important also during the prenatal period is that if we do not have our nutrient levels where they need to be, our the possibility for nutrient depletion in the postpartum period is huge and can be a really, really big reason for like mental health issues in the postpartum period, inability to have energy or take care of oneself because you are that depleted due to your pregnancy. Right. Because your baby is going to take, in a loving way, everything. They love you, your baby loves you, but they are going to take those nutrients. One other thing is that during like these pregnancy complications, such as gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, women with an autoimmune diagnosis may have a higher chance of getting these complications. Mm-hmm. That being said, one of the only things that we can do to help avoid those is really pay attention to our nutrition and lifestyle. Right. So within our program, it's really staying so focused on what we can do, because we can't make promises about pregnancy. It's just not, it's not possible. And we're not going to give you a promise because that'd be wrong. But it's really about making sure that you're doing everything in your power to put your nutrient needs first, understand what pregnancy even needs, but also have this relationship between your autoimmune diagnosis and this maternal journey.
Right.
I hope that made sense. That was a
totally.
Lot. But there is so much that goes into it. And it's really looking at your pregnancy with a little bit more attention, because you have something else that's going on, and you want to make sure that that stays, like your hormone levels are where they need to be, or you have type 1 diabetes and your glucose levels are where they are.
Right.
So I'll let Cassie get into like the prep for birth and postpartum, but
yeah,
that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. And I have a question. Yeah. Can you define for me the difference between, I know there's like trying to conceive, prenatal, postnatal, yes. And then, like, can you explain, because I always thought prenatal meant like before you got pregnant.
So fertility TTC, trying to conceive, is the before you are announcing that you're pregnant. So prenatal is before birth. So the prenatal period is, and that's where Cassie and I are currently really focused in, is the prenatal birth to postpartum. Mm-hmm. But that's a great question though. So I'm glad you asked.
I always, before I knew like what trying to conceive what like was a actual term, I was like, isn't that prenatal? Like you take prenatals, like even before you try to get pregnant. You should at least. And like, I don't know. I know I can't be the only one who was like, what? There's a different word for this. And it's not prenatal, but thank you for explaining. And Cass, if you wanna.
Yeah. And actually I have, this is how I always remember it. So birth, we consider it perinatal. So like peri being around and like of, and then so prenatal is that pregnancy. So natal is the technical like term for like, I don't know if this is actually accurate, but this is how I remember it. It's like that birth area. Mm-hmm. And so that prenatal is the pregnancy and the postnatal is after birth.
Gotcha.
That's how I remember it too. Cause there is another term, is that perinatal, which is, it's a super, no one uses it, but it is a term anyway. Yeah. So kind of going off of what Michaela said, so one of the biggest things that we've seen is that, again, that nutrient depletion in postpartum, because in postpartum you are healing, and so if you have that nutrient depletion, it's going to take that much more. One of the biggest things that we've seen is sometimes women actually go into remission during pregnancy, which is amazing and awesome, and it's like, yeah, I have the pregnancy glow, but then in their postpartum they have that kind of crash. Which obviously, again, how Michaela said, affects mood, affects healing, because as we know, with nutrition, if we don't have the proper nutrients, we aren't going to, our bodies aren't going to heal, especially if we've had, you know, like a vaginal birth, a C-section, all of those things, your body needs to like revamp a little, and we're going to be pushing a bunch of nutrients there, a bunch of, doing a lot of work there. So we're going to need those nutrients. You're also going to be, if you are going to be breastfeeding, you're going to need those nutrients for breastfeeding as well. One of the things that people don't realize actually is, you need more calories while you're breastfeeding than you do in your third trimester of pregnancy. So, and on top of that, you know, with a autoimmune diagnosis, there does tend to be, medications that can get involved, as well as hormonal regulation. So breastfeeding, I like to say, I don't know if this is a weird term, but it makes sense to me. I like to say it's a hormonal based activity.
Sense.
So our bodies produce prolactin, which is the breastfeeding hormone. And that's what's going to, you know, create your milk supply. So if our hormones are a little imbalanced, if we're having a little bit of shifts all over, then it may be difficult for our bodies to create a consistent amount of prolactin, which may cause some difficulties with milk supply here and there. It's not to say that you cannot breastfeed, because I've heard a lot of women say, oh yeah, my doctor said I can't because I have an autoimmune diagnosis. I'm like, you're wrong. That's not right. It may take a little bit of extra support and a little bit of extra like self-love and all of that going through the process, but it is for sure possible. And that's one of the things I always like to say, is because everyone's journey is different. Mm-hmm. But if we can, you know, do that prep in that prenatal, which is one of the big things that we do, is we have prep for breastfeeding in that prenatal period. So you know what you're going into before you actually have to do it. You're not just learning on the fly. And then have that support in the postpartum, you are that much more likely to, this is like actual research studies, women who've had both prenatal education and postnatal support are like, I don't actually know the, in my top of my head, like the times amount, but like that many times more likely to be successful with their breastfeeding endeavors, whether it's, I want to breastfeed for 3 months, I want to breastfeed for 6 months, I want to breastfeed for 2 years, they're that much more likely to meet their goals if they've had that dual support.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's so crazy with nutrient deficiencies, but also like inflammation and like so many other issues. And I definitely know in the Hashimoto's world, I see two ends of the spectrum. It's either they go into remission during pregnancy, or it hits them like a ton of bricks and it's the worst they've ever been, or they don't even have a diagnosis until they give birth, and then all of a sudden their body goes into shock. I'm assuming this is like what I've made up. Yeah. Their body goes into shock and produces antibodies because it's like, what's going on? All these new things are happening. I don't know what to do. I'm going to try and protect myself. Is that fairly?
No, that's 100% correct. Yeah.
Okay. Like I can assume that. And my specialty is not with pregnancy, although a lot of my clients have magically, we're in COVID times, if you're listening to this later, have gotten pregnant. I think all but one in since COVID. And I'm like, so I've been diving into this a lot, and I'm just so fascinated that one thing I definitely know that there's a big fear from women who have autoimmune diseases prior to getting pregnant, when they do find out that they're pregnant, that it's not going to be a healthy pregnancy. And one thing I always say is that there are so many women who go undiagnosed for years who have healthy babies. So it's not impossible to have a full-term healthy birth with an autoimmune disease, but you have to take care of yourself. You know, like, what you eat matters, what you say to yourself matters, what you think about yourself matters, and like the things you do in your environment matter. So like, what do you guys, I know you guys have a program that's open right now. So if you're listening to this live, go check them out. And if you're pregnant, but like, what is your, like the first two or three steps that someone should take when they are pregnant to help them?
Mm-hmm. Cassie, you want to start us out?
Oh, sure. Okay. So we have a couple pillars for it's a 9-month program. So it takes you through, we assume it's usually you find out you're pregnant somewhere within your first trimester. Second trimester starts about 13 and a half weeks. So at that point, we think people are probably, by the time they come to grips with it and then they're like, wow, this is crazy, and they find us, they're about end of their first trimester. So our program takes you through from pretty much end of your first trimester to, we prefer 3 months postpartum, but we can make 2 months postpartum work depending. So it's about a 9-month long program, depending on when you sign up with us. And we have 5 different pillars. So the first one, the first couple are Michaela's. So if I'm a little off with it, Michaela, you can correct me. But for the first one is a lot of mindset stuff. Mm-hmm. So we go in and make sure, like how you said, making sure our mindset's right, making sure our confidence is up. And then we get into nutrition and routine and getting everything, you know, making sure that you feel really solid in your routine and with your diet as well. And then Michaela, the third one we go into.
So I actually have it right here. I'll read it out.
Perfect. I know them, but like the actual, like, it's not coming to my brain right now.
Mm-hmm. No, you're good. So the first one is, like Cassie said, is really the mental health and building confidence to trust your body. Cause there really are so many women that come that are, like you just said, are scared and terrified. Mm-hmm. And they're like, am I going to be able to do this? Like, is my body able to do this?
Right.
Like .. Like, that's really where they're at, you know? And also the confidence in yourself that you will be able to do it, you know, and like, you will be able to understand there's just such a plethora of information that's usually this overwhelm. And like, I have confidence that I will be able to do this. I can do this, you know?
Right.
Second step, just to add on to what Cassie said, is really promoting the optimal nutrition for your diagnosis and pregnancy. So something that's so specific to autoimmune specific is that a lot of us have food issues, right? So like, personally, I'm no to gluten, no to nightshades. Cassie's no to dairy, no to gluten. Like, right. And this is fine. Everybody has their food. Like, and I'm sure, Chelsea, is there something, are there some foods that you need to avoid that
you have no idea the list? So yes.
So really, we don't, like on our stories, we never say these are the foods that you should eat or not eat, because it is so individualized for everybody's diagnosis. But really in this step, we dial in and say, okay, what are these foods that are good for you? But also, how can we optimize this diet to help us with pregnancy as well? Because there is that second layer that's like, okay, we got to make sure that we're getting in these nutrients through food. And also finding ease with it, because this is all around your first, second trimester ish. And you might still be feeling the nausea. You might still be feeling these like early pregnancy symptoms. And you're like, you're telling me to eat spinach when like all I can swallow is toast, woman, you know? Right. So it's really working with the moms and see like, how can we do this? And then like Cassie said, the step three is optimizing your daily routine and increasing your movement and stress management. So when it comes to a routine with somebody with an autoimmune diagnosis, it's not just, oh, did I go for a walk today? It's like, did I take my medication on time? And yeah. Like, did I wait an hour to make sure that the absorption was correct? And it's some of us have to take more medications than other women, and that is totally fine. But it's understanding, am I taking these medications at the best time? Because there are some foods that inhibit absorption of medications. There's time periods, all those different things. And we want to be really specific about that during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then of course, stress management. I mean, with autoimmune diagnoses, so many of us struggle with anxiety or depression or brain fog or all these different things, overwhelm on a general basis. So with pregnancy, you know, those are common symptoms. So how can we really minimize that and work with you and your diagnosis? So yeah. That's kind of adding in what Cassie said. I'll let Cassie do step four, which is expect for breastfeeding. And then step five, which is our postpartum balance hormones and all those different things. So you go for it, Cass.
Well, so, I mean, I kind of talked about this a little bit already, but obviously like, so one of the things we do is prepping for breastfeeding, prepping for birth. So during birth, that's something you've never done before. How do you know what you're supposed to like do?
Right.
So things like how to advocate for yourself, what things to advocate for. We, you know, we pretty much, you know, help you set up a bit of a birthing plan as well, you know, things to ask for, things that you want, help you look into your hospital system, which is so key. I don't think people realize how much hospitals vary and what you can actually ask for in a hospital system. Some hospitals are really strict and rigid. Some hospitals are like, this is our policy, but if you want to do it this way, like that's totally fine. It's up to you. So you know, having to look into that. And then obviously the education on breastfeeding as well is huge. And then again, in that postpartum, it's really a lot of support and just getting, you know, getting you feeling good and feeling like you're successfully breastfeeding, feeling confident in your latch, feeling confident in your milk supply, all of that fun stuff. So that's, so that first little bit, I was like, oh, I probably should have had Michaela take that, but that's her realm.
Yeah, no, I love it. It almost sounds like it's like a full circle. So like you start with pretty much mindset, nutrition, lifestyle, postpartum, but then you have to like postpartum get back into the mindset, nutrition and lifestyle stuff. So you guys really support them every step of the way, which I think is so awesome, because it's so, especially if it's a first time pregnancy. I mean, you have, like, from what I can tell, you have no idea what you're doing. And everyone tells you your maternal instincts will pop in. Like when my sister was pregnant, I hope she doesn't listen to this or get mad that I'm sharing, but like, it's hard. For some people, it's hard to feel maternal at first, because a lot of women suffer from miscarriages or suffer from complications because of their autoimmune disease or just because whatever happened to them. But it's scary for a lot of women to be pregnant. And I think you guys do a really excellent job of breaking it down so that there's like still room for freedom, but also room for healing and confidence, which I think is like key in any healing journey, let alone pregnancy. So like, I'm sure a lot of women that come to you maybe have like a brand new diagnosis. I'm sure you have both. You have like people who come to you who have had their condition for 20 years and, you know, since they were 11. And then you have people who come to you who are like, I was diagnosed yesterday and I'm freaking out and I'm pregnant and am I gonna lose this baby? So what do you guys, like, what would you say is like, how do I ask this? Cause I don't want to be like, what's like your number one piece of advice for women who like first time pregnant mama, I guess. Yeah. What's your number one piece of advice for first time pregnant mamas with an autoimmune disease?
Well, I'll go first and I'll let Cassie go after. Sure. I think that we probably have the same answer, but honestly, it's evaluate your support system, like straight up, because, and it's not we always say, like, if you work with us and that's cool, but if not, please get a support system. Like, yeah. Because, I mean, if you think about other cultures, like, when somebody is pregnant, they respect the pregnant women, like, insane. Like, there are some cultures out there that's like, the pregnant woman gets all the best food. No stress around the pregnant woman. The pregnant woman is the queen. Pregnant woman is the one who's, like, that's the kind of respect that we believe that a pregnant woman should go through.
Hell yeah.
Like, I'm not saying, like, do this for me, you order my, you know, not that, but at the same time, like, really getting this quality support, because there's just so much going on in your brain. Yeah. I mean, it's to us, it's really, the advice is really make sure you have the support system. And the people who end up signing up with us, is they have all the doctors, right? They have the holistic nutrition, no, not nutrition, the holistic doctors, the endocrinologists, the whatever, blah, blah, blah. But they're like, I don't really feel listened to. Mm-hmm. And like Cassie and I were like, we will listen to you. If you want to call us, if you want our long call to be just you talking and like, we'll listen, then like, we'll do that. Cause that's what I'll let Cassie, I'll let Cassie go.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's a huge, you know, like we could say here and there, like, oh, do this, oh, do that, you know? But every pregnancy is different. But the one biggest thing that I would say for any pregnancy at all, but especially with a pregnancy with an autoimmune diagnosis, is evaluating your support system. And if it's not good enough, go and find something, whether it's like, hey, I'm feeling really solid about my nutrition, but like my mental health is terrible. And maybe I just need to go and get a therapist, like add those in, like, this is the time to work through your physical health, to work through, I mean, obviously if you can't do anything physically, but just, you know, your nutrition and your mental health, like gaining that confidence, working through past traumas, working through inherited family traumas. Like, this is the time, because at this moment you are carrying your baby. And if your baby happens to be a female, she's also carrying all of her eggs. So you are carrying inadvertently your grandchild, and your DNA is being shaped by all this. So like, work through it.
Mind blown.
It's just, pregnancy is the coolest freaking thing,
guys. I know. It's so cool. And it's like, I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't it so cool?
That's insane.
It's amazing.
I'm tearing up. But anyway, change the subject.
No, it's unreal. But in these women, and most, I don't want to say these women, because honestly, it's all women. We are, as a society, we're like, hey, female, you must have, now it's like, you must have a career and you must be amazing at cooking all the meals, and you must be good at being a mom, and you must be good at blah, 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 blah. And we're like, no, like, this is really a time where like, we need to focus on you. Like, and within our application process, we have the partner there as well, because of course you need that partner to be so there, but really it's just, that's just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, so one thing that I've always been curious about, and I've heard, there's a lot of women who, when you have an autoimmune disease, you go on like AIP or an elimination diet or whatever it is. And then a lot of women I see, like pregnancy, like throws a wrench in that plan. Like all they want is gluten and all they want is dairy. And like, some of them can tolerate it, some of them can't. Like, kind of walk me through how you would coach someone through their first trimester with the nausea, the cravings, and all this stuff.
So for sure, yeah, that's a great question. Really, we're not great at giving cookie cutter advice, because we are so individualized. Not only like dietitians, that's what you do, but at the same time, Cassie and I specifically, it's like so intuitive about what works for your body. But really, if somebody's, we don't use the diet word, because we feel like during, especially during pregnancy, like, let's not stress ourselves out by trying to use this diet.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, if I know that gluten is not okay for me and it's going to make me uncomfortable, like, let's find another way for you to get a carbohydrate that makes you feel like you're getting that, you know, and like using those substitutions, or like, I really want these candies, or like something like that. Again, if you have one or two, it's fine. But if you're finding like it is a craving that you'd like to maybe work on, let's find like some fruit or something else. So really within the first trimester also, like first, second, it's about mom eating enough. Like, because a lot of women just struggle with their appetite. I mean, it's really like, it's less about, am I eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day? It's like, am I eating at all?
Right.
So it's really like maximizing that diet and what works for that woman, because she's going to have different food aversions than somebody else, you know? And like, food aversions are food aversions. If they're going to make you throw up, we don't want you to eat them.
Right.
So that's not really a great answer, I don't think,
the perfect answer.
It's really like highlighting that it is so individualized, especially with autoimmune diagnoses. Like we really should respect our body's allergens or what disrupts
sensitivities.
Feeling good. Yeah. Sensitivities. But Cassie, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, you did a great job. I think just to add another thing that we like to do too, is kind of helping them to identify if they don't already get their triggers because that first trimester can be really brutal. And sometimes it just like hits them out of nowhere. So identifying triggers through food logs, more of a nausea log. So like what has been going on both like taste, texture, smell, environmentally around you, because it could just be from smells, it could be from your aunt's perfume, it could be from the construction site down the street, like all of these things. So understanding those, if you don't know your triggers, is so huge too, because so important. If you can avoid those triggers, you might be better off. You know, if you're my mom, for example, when she was pregnant, she's like, I couldn't do leftovers. Like it would make me just like vomit in the sink as I was like throwing them out. Like I could not do leftovers. So just trying to figure out what works best for you so that we can actually enjoy our pregnancy is huge.
I love that. And it's so similar to what I teach in healing in general. It's like, there's no cookie cutter plan. People sell you on a cookie cutter plan. There's always going to be something on Google that you can find to follow, but there's the only way to know exactly what works for you is to experiment and to see how you feel. And I'm not going to be the one to sit here and tell you, you can't have this and you can't have that. And like, how dare you touch gluten ever? No, you're an adult, right? You make your own choices. How does it make you feel when you eat that food? Do you feel good? Do you feel like crap? Do your symptoms get worse over the week afterwards? I know for me, it took me about like a year to like give up gluten and dairy, essentially, because really, really hard. Yeah, it's hard.
Very difficult.
Yeah. But it's especially doing it alone. I don't, support didn't exist when I was doing it, but I can't imagine being pregnant and like not, or feeling like you have no idea what's going on with your body, with your autoimmunity, but with your pregnancy, and just knowing that there's people like you out there, I feel like is really going to help people feel calmer with the whole process, because they can ask questions and, you know, they could reach out to you and work with you and have that support and that community of women, which I think is just so freaking cool. And amazing to have that option. Like there are pregnancy groups and new mom groups and all that stuff, but not specific to autoimmunity.
Yeah.
And having that support is just such a great thing on any healing journey, but also any like health journey.
Yeah. So and I think one of our clients who just signed on, she was like, you know, you probably don't get women like me because like, whatever, I'm abnormal. And we're like, girl, you're so normal. Like you're amazing. Like, come on. You know, and I think that we feel like our bodies are broken sometimes, and we're like, oh, we're whatever, something negative. And I think that having a group that's specific to your individuality and what makes you, is just really special too.
Yeah. And the fact that you guys are inclusive, like it's not just one diagnosis, you guys really help the masses, which I think, you know, people need. Like, gosh, I just know, just between like my sister's pregnancy, client's pregnancy, and just like people in my life who've been pregnant, it's not easy. Like, and I feel like movies make it look, and like celebrities, which is weird because you wouldn't think so, they make it look so easy, except for the beautiful Chrissy Teigen, who, thank goodness for her being so honest and transparent with her miscarriage in late pregnancy. mm-hmm. Which people go through, and it's just heartbreaking. But anyway, I could go on a whole speech about miscarriage and all that stuff, so, but which might be triggering for some people, and I totally respect that, but just know that you're not alone. If you are listening to this, I'm also going to put that in the show notes, but you're not alone, and it happens, and it's sad and it's heartbreaking, but you're worth more than that, and you get to feel good and heal with support. I think that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so okay, let's change the subject here. What do you guys feel like? What is something important that you want people to know about what you do or about pregnancy and breastfeeding?
Cassie, you go for it, girl.
Ooh, wow, that's a really good question. Just one thing that I want people to know.
No pressure.
I know, right? Like, of all the things. I think that, I mean, of all the things that we do, I feel like just knowing that you can see, like, we are healthcare providers. You can see a healthcare provider without feeling steamrolled, without being blown, like your questions being blown over, or feeling like you can't ask all of your questions because the doctor has to rush out of the room. Mm-hmm. You are allowed to be a part of your healthcare team. You're allowed to make decisions for yourself. As a conversation with your healthcare providers. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we, you know, talk about, you know, outside of this, the nitty gritty specifics, is that, hey, like, we're not here to tell you to do X, Y, and Z. We're here to to support you and to get you, you know, let you have the best journey that you can have. Yeah. And you are the expert of you. We are not the expert of you. Your doctor's not the expert of you. Your mom isn't the expert of you. Mm-hmm. Your partner isn't the expert of you. You are the expert of you. And so you are a valuable member of your healthcare team, because only you can give the perspective that you have. And we truly, truly value that. And if you are not getting that from elsewhere, go find someone else, because you deserve that for sure.
I love that you said that, because you are the boss. You are paying your providers.
Yeah, you pay to your work doctor
for you. Like, mm-hmm. you're allowed to ask questions, and you're allowed to ask for a meeting, and you're allowed to not feel like they're not sharing information, and ask for studies, and go in and show them studies, and so on and so forth. So I love that you said that. Yeah. And Michaela, do you have anything to add?
That was so good. It, like, gave me chills.
So good. So good.
No, I guess I was just going to say that you're not alone, really, is, like, the thing. I think mm-hmm. that there's a lot of, you feel like nobody will understand. And part of it is that you're right. You have the perspective of yourself, and nobody does truly understand, because it's you. But we are here for you. And pregnancy, you don't have to do it alone. Prep for breastfeeding, you don't have to do it alone. Breastfeeding, you don't have to do it alone. I think as women, mm-hmm. We're superheroes, obviously, but like, we don't have to do everything alone. And we forget that, and we shouldn't do everything alone either, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're not alone.
Yeah. I love that. Part of me wants to, like, end the podcast here, because I'm like, wow, what a great foot to end on. Beautiful. But I have more questions, so I'm not going to stop.
That's right. If you need a pause for, like, an emotional, like, mental break, like, go ahead and pause it. Come back.
Because I want to know more about, I have questions about breastfeeding now, which is, like, one of my favorite topics on the face of the earth. And what I studied during my dietetic internship. So I just love it. But I know a lot of women can't breastfeed, don't want to breastfeed, or don't enjoy breastfeeding when they try it. So I would love to, I know you talk a lot about helping women breastfeeding and latching and things like that. But what happens with women who can't sustain it, don't want to do it, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on everyone's journey's different. If you don't want to breastfeed, that's totally fine. That's your decision. And, we support all moms' decisions, because, again, you're the expert of you. You're also the expert of your baby. So, mm-hmm. you know what you need to do in that. And so for women that do want to breastfeed, one of the biggest things I like to say is, it's not it's not all or nothing. You don't have to exclusively breastfeed for all of this time to successfully breastfeed. Some women go through their journey supplementing half the time. Some women have to supplement at the beginning and then start afterwards. Some women start off breastfeeding and then end up supplementing. It's your journey, you know? So it's not, there's no right or wrong way to do it. You know, so I know there's a lot of guilt out there for sure. And I know that a lot of women do struggle with breastfeeding, and some women are like, I tried it, I didn't like it, and so we're not doing that. And that's totally fine. You know, everything, again, I feel like I'm just like repeating myself, but it's your journey and you get to make the decisions for sure.
Yeah. Ah, you guys are so good at answering questions. In a comfortable way. Like, you're not, you make it feel like whatever we choose is going to be fine.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who don't believe that. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to get lost in the whole, I need to breastfeed, mm-hmm. when you might not be able to, or you may not enjoy it. And I think that's such an important lesson. Cass, and thank you for sharing that, because I think women, we all need to hear that, because I know, like, when I was in my residency doing the whole breastfeeding thing, I'm like, I'm breastfeeding no matter what. It has so many benefits, and like, I think it's so cool that women, the coolest thing that fascinates me about breastfeeding is that the baby tells your hormones what it needs, and it, your body makes what the baby needs, and your breast milk is always different. And that blows my mind. Mm-hmm. But I also now know that, I mean, such privilege, who am I to say that I have to breastfeed when I may be sick afterwards? I may not be able to. And honestly, sometimes formula is easier. So I think just knowing that you get to make the decisions in your household and no one else can tell you anything about that. You do you is the most important part. And I say this to my clients who just become pregnant, who are like, I'm so nauseous, I can't eat anything. And I'm like, I am not going to pressure you to eat anything. Eat what makes you feel good if you can eat, but like, you do you, what feels good to you, because I don't know what feels good to you, and it's not my job to know what feels good to you, because it's your job to know what feels good to you. And that's the beauty of this journey. So I think that that's just so, so important. And, you know, so let's just say,
can I just add something really fast?
Yeah.
All right. I just want to add something really fast. So yes, I think what's really important is within Mama's Maternal Health, why we talk about breastfeeding so much though. Cause if you look at our like social, it is very like, we love breastfeeding, mm-hmm. is knowing that a lot of women, it's almost like they don't have the choice. If they do want to breastfeed, they don't have the support to allow them to actually get through it. So it's right. Like, we have no, like, if you choose, however you choose to feed your baby is perfect, but we want, if you want to breastfeed, we want you to have the support to be able to, because yeah. you will run into roadblocks. So, cause there's like a lot of women who are like, I really want to, like, this is really what I want to do, but I don't know, like, I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. We want to help that woman really get through those roads. Am I correct, Cassie, when yeah. I say that?
No, I think that was a really great explanation, because yeah, like, it is everyone's journey, but it's not fair for women who do want to breastfeed, because there is not, you know, it's not fair because there's not enough support. You know what I mean? Right. And there's not enough support for women postpartum in general, but to say like, all right, you get to, if you want to breastfeed, go figure it out.
Right.
You know, it's not fair to the women. I mean, this occurs for women with, you know, that don't have autoimmune diagnoses. And then on top of it, you know, you have healthcare professionals telling women with autoimmune diagnoses that they probably just shouldn't even try, because they're not going to succeed. They're not going to be able to. Mm-hmm. And it's just really heart-wrenching to hear that. And so, yeah, one of the reasons that we have Mama's Maternal Health is for women who do want to breastfeed for however long it is, we want to be able to help them get there.
Yeah. So is there a way to tell? So I know you can get all of your hormones tested, you know, mm-hmm. and you could get your prolactin tested. You could get it all tested, which your OBGYN could do that, or your functional practitioner could do that for you. But is there a way to know beforehand, and this may be a super naive question, but like, if my prolactin is low prior to giving birth, would that mean that I couldn't breastfeed?
I don't think so. And so one of the interesting things about that is prolactin and progesterone work kind of on a seesaw. Mm-hmm. So I think progesterone is the right one. That's the pregnancy hormone, and prolactin is the breastfeeding hormone. So once you give birth and you start breastfeeding, your body switches from progesterone to prolactin. So I wouldn't say, I've never heard of anything saying like if you have like a certain level, because it would be low during pregnancy,
right?
But if there is a certain level, I've never heard anything saying that. Mm-hmm. And I think, and even every, you know, every pregnancy birth is different too. So you might have done really well with your first breastfeeding, super easy peasy, just like put them on and they breastfed and you did great and you never need any help. And then the next one's like tongue tied and lip tied and,
right.
You know, their muscles aren't working right and their latch is wrong. You know, it doesn't, even if you've done it before, you might struggle or vice versa, the other way around. So everyone is different. So you might be able to breastfeed one and struggle with another or all of that. Right. It is hard to say based off of, you know, that those pregnancy signs. And I think there's a lot of things that can get worked through that don't necessarily get worked through in that postpartum mm-hmm. period because they don't have that support. That could have been, you know, not saying for everyone, but could have been, you know, addressed earlier on, but then wasn't, and kind of spiraled from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just so fascinating. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I could geek out on hormones, and because what that led me to thinking of, especially with progesterone, but also, isn't there like luteinizing hormone? There's all these hormones that are involved in pregnancy, and breastfeeding mm-hmm. and birth, but I was thinking with women with PCOS specifically, right? There's typically insulin resistance, elevated testosterone, which affects your estrogen and progesterone. Whoa. And probably, I don't know the nitty gritty, probably plays a role in the luteinizing hormone, in follicle stimulating hormone, you know, all that, all those things. I'm bringing it back to school. Here we go. And so I'm sure you've worked with, or you know, about PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I know a lot of women with Hashimoto's have PCOS. And I would love to kind of touch on that as far as both pregnancy and breastfeeding goes. So if you guys want to.
Yeah. So something that kind of annoys me, that's such an immature word after using all these big hormone words, but mm-hmm. well, is I hear people with PCOS say that they can't have carbs ever. Like that's something I see very, very often. And so I'd like to say that within the prenatal period, it's really, we would with our mom's maternal health, would really focus on a balanced plate, not necessarily cutting out any food groups, because with that insulin sensitivity, it's really so much more about creating that balance throughout the day rather than just taking away all the carbohydrates. So when it comes to the nutrition perspective within the PCOS realm, really our focus would be to do the best that we can to have balance throughout all of our meals and our snacks, which sounds really easy, but it's like not when you have your nausea and you're having these symptoms and there's so much going through in your brain. So really with PCOS, I said this already twice, but it's that balance. It's making sure you have a balance within your meals and treating your meals with respect, because they do make such a difference.
And also finding your carb tolerance, I feel like mm-hmm. is an important part of blood sugar balance in general. But mm-hmm. I know with pregnancy, it's common to have blood sugar imbalances with autoimmunity. Because mm-hmm. the baby is basically taking everything. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how everything's connected.
Amen. Amen. So it's really about like what Cassie and I focus on is, again, going back to the, let's do everything that we can in our power to make sure that our nutrition lifestyle are supporting a healthy pregnancy rather than inhibiting these pathways to occur, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Cassie, is there anything, I'm not sure about postnatal and PCOS, but do you have anything to add?
So with PCOS, I would probably, you know, obviously every autoimmune diagnosis is different, and how we react to food is different, but we, you know, obviously we go into the nutritional aspect of it to optimize nutrition for healing, for your specific diagnoses, and as well as making sure we're optimizing our nutrition for breastfeeding as well. And then when it comes to the hormonal balance stuff, obviously we kind of have to, I don't like this term, but it makes sense, like roll with the punches a little bit, because our body will, you know, shift here and there back and forth in that postpartum period. And so, you know, making sure we're doing everything we can to build up a milk supply. And if, you know, we get hit with rogue hormones here and there, you know, working through that and getting through that, and you know, just making sure we find a routine that works. And then if things happen, you know, if things happen with supply, then things happen with supply and we work with it. If things are happening with latch or frequency or whatever, you know, the same, we'd treat it the same way as we would with any other you know, lactation issue would be, you know, rolling with those punches and really just making sure that support is there to be able to, you know, move forward from there.
Yeah, I love it. So I'm like writing down questions because I'm like, so much is coming up that I think people would be interested in. So I mean, I think PCOS is a really important one to talk about, because that is one that typically women struggle conceiving and maintaining pregnancy. So there's a lot that goes into PCOS, and there's a lot you need for a diagnosis too. But I think you can, I just want everyone to know, you can get pregnant with PCOS. You can get pregnant with any autoimmune disease. Well, I don't want to say any, but you can get pregnant with most of them. But it's, what's important is before pregnancy, taking care of yourself, during pregnancy, taking care of yourself, and post-pregnancy, taking care of yourself. Yeah. But I love that. So I have two more questions. We'll see if I come up with more. My first one, and I see that I get asked this all the time, because I say a motto in my business is, if you are of childbearing age, you should be on a prenatal. And the reason is because if you're having sex in general with a condom or without, you could get pregnant anytime with an autoimmune disease. So why not have everything that you need, all the stores, you know, keep your body almost used to getting those things before you're pregnant. And so everyone I work with is usually on some kind of prenatal, which is awesome. But I would love to know your guys' favorite prenatal.
That's a tough question. Yeah. That's a tough question.
I feel like we get this question a lot. It's not my favorite question. And here's why. Everybody, I know this is probably such a cookie cutter answer for based on what we've been saying, but everyone's body is different. So everyone reacts differently. Some women really struggle with too much iron in their prenatal. Some women that have the, I think it's like the MTHFR gene, cannot absorb folic acid. Some, they have really adverse reactions. And so we need that form of folate. But the one thing I would look for in a prenatal is, if you can, especially if you have an autoimmune diagnosis, look for one that has folate as opposed to folic acid. I know a lot of people really like Ritual, but I haven't really gone into it super extensively. Find one that has minerals in it, because if you don't, then you might not get enough iron. The gummies aren't going to cut it, because you can't get iron in gummies. So I'm sorry, ladies, unless you want to supplement separately with your iron. And then finding one that has DHA and EPA in it.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I keep seeing is, instead of, and I could be, is folic. Wait, you want folate or you want folic acid? Just remind me.
Folate.
So is folate the same thing as the L-methylfolate?
I believe so.
because there's L-methylfolate, which is like I should probably Google this before I talk on it, but L-methylfolate is the one I've heard to take.
Mm-hmm.
Because it stores easier, especially for women with the MTHFR, but in general, anyone can use it and your body absorbs it better.
That sounds about right then. Yeah. I don't know the like actual like who, but I'm like folate, that's the one.
Right. No, yeah.
That does sound right.
I just looked it up and it supports what you're saying too.
Cool.
Folic acid is the man-made one, whereas folate is the one found in nature. So you'll find folate in your foods, but it's harder to find folate in a supplement because they put the man-made version folic acid in a supplement. So the folate is
cheaper.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So it's a little bit, it's probably a little bit more expensive, but it is worth it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know with especially when you find out you are pregnant, a lot of women struggle with either their prenatals making them nauseous, or and they can't keep it down, or the taste, the smell, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. So I know a lot of women do veer towards the gummies during pregnancy. So like the Smarty Pants, there's tons of brands, but the only one I personally trust is Smarty Pants.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely supplement with iron. But like in general, also if you are not pregnant and you're taking a prenatal, it can't hurt if you need extra iron to supplement with it, but get a blood test, make sure that that's safe. Cool. But I loved your answer. I think it's true. Look for minerals, look for the right things that you need. There's so many brands and, you know, do what works best for you and what you think is going to be, you're able to be consistent with, because there's liquid, there's tablets, there's gummies, there's everything under the sun.
And if anybody's listening and wants a actual list, Cassie and I have a list in a blog format. So we could send that over if anybody wanted that. We could DM us, Mama's Maternal Health, and we'll send it to you.
Yeah, so. And I can also put it in the show notes.
Oh, cool.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. And then my last question is, I know there, I learned in school, which I don't know if I necessarily fully believe, but that there's no foods that help you with lactation. And I do think that like no magic food is going to start your ability to produce breast milk or increase your supply. But I know there are foods that are better for you while you are lactating. So I'd love to hear about those.
Yeah. So most of the supplements have not, that people say have not, there's no research behind it. They've not been scientifically proven. But there are some things that they've found a little bit. So the lactation cookies is a big one because they kind of just throw everything that under the sun that people basically think that could help to help. So there is research that says having a high fiber diet can help. So that's huge with like the oats. In making sure you're having, so that's a big ingredient in lactation cookies is usually some type of oat in there.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure your nutrients are optimized is huge. I know the newest trend that I've seen running around is the Body Armor drinks. They're like, I drank one and I was normally pumping an ounce and I pumped like 3 ounces after I drank one. That's typically a sign that you're probably not as hydrated as you think you are. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, if that's what works for you, that's what works. I think the biggest ones that I want to debunk right now is the fenugreek. And there's a couple other herbs too. Fenugreek. So this is me nerding out for a second. So bear with me. Fenugreek works on glands. So, one of the things, the thought behind it is that, so like people have taken it and they like sweat a lot. So the like thought is that if you take it, it's going to increase your gland productivity and increase your milk supply. And that it can work for some, but in others, and this is why it hasn't been scientifically proven, because in others it has the opposite effect and like tanks their supply. Mm. So it's not a super, you know, reliable or safe one. I think fenugreek is probably the biggest one that I've seen go around as a supplement. But yeah, so there's technically no scientifically proven besides like increasing fiber, making sure you're getting enough fluids, and all of that, But just be really wary with any supplements you take, because similar, there's, you know, similar to fenugreek, there's a couple that can have the opposite effect and really hurt your supply as well. So just be aware of what you're taking for sure.
Yeah, I love it. So good. I mean, guys, we touched on, I think, every topic possible. And I think we got a really well-rounded, like, bit of information touched on. And guys, if you're listening and you want us to go deeper, you guys can always come back on the podcast. We can go deeper into, like, more specifics. And maybe we'll even do, like, a Q&A.
That would be really good.
Yeah, that would be really fun. But I mean, thank you guys so much for coming. I think you really help a lot of us autoimmune warriors feel more comfortable and calm during their pregnancies and postpartum. And that's all a gal can ask for, right? Mm-hmm. But just know in general that all three of us love you and you're taken care of, and we're here for you throughout your whole journey, and you do you. What works best for you is the most important. But thank you, Cassie and Michaela, for coming on the Healing HQ podcast. This was so fun. And we will see you